We live in a world that values humility, which is honestly left over from Jesus's teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We might value humility, but the fact of the matter is we live in an ego-driven world. And we operate that way, whether we want to admit it or not. We do believe, hey, I got a name drop. I've got to sell myself to really get what I want in this life.
Yeah, I think it's really the human condition. You know, when Jesus taught, lived and taught, humility was not valued at all. That was actually a Christian introduction into
from Jesus.
The world. Yeah, it was. It came from Jesus.
But you and I, when we interview people, yeah, because you know we have a growing staff mm-hmm, and camp yep. and all that. That's one of the things we look for is
absolutely
how teachable are they?
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. You know, in an interview, you're always trying to sell yourself, but you are just looking for a little bit of that. I want to learn,
mm-hmm.
and that humility. And sometimes it's hard to see.
Yeah, it is.
We're yep. gonna see Jesus teach on it today.
Well, you're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And we're in Luke 14, and I'll go ahead and begin verse 1. So, one Sabbath day, Jesus went to eat dinner in the home of the leader of the Pharisees, and the people were watching him closely. There was a man whose arms and legs were swollen. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in religious law, "Is it permitted in the law to heal people on the Sabbath day or not?" We just had that yesterday. When they refused to answer, Jesus touched the sick man and healed him and sent him away. Then he turned to them and said, "Which of you doesn't work on the Sabbath? If your son or your cow falls into a pit, I mean, don't you rush in to get him out?" Again, they could not answer. When Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you also has been invited? Now, by the way, the seat of honor was a big deal in Jesus's culture. We don't have that so much, but what we do have is we want to be seen by the people that others respect or look yeah. up to. We want to be associated with those other people. So if you go to a dinner party or, you know, or just any kind of a party or a gathering, and you're looking around the room, the people that you view as socially awkward, a little odd, you try to avoid them. And the people that are looked up to and well-respected, you gravitate yourself to them. It's just, it's part of our human condition. And Jesus is saying, no, do the opposite.
We do that in office context, too.
Yeah,
we want to get lunch with mm-hmm. the boss, or we want to get lunch with the influential people.
Yeah, but people tend to avoid me for lunch, but you know, except Jack. Jack, he likes to go to lunch.
That's
with
right.
Me.
But there are people, though, in the office who just never really get invited. And I think, I mean, mm-hmm. the way to apply what Jesus is saying here is like, stop looking for what other people can do for you and getting in those positions and start looking to bless other people.
Yeah. And I have been inspired by some believers where I've just seen this in a big way, where they almost seem to be drawn towards those that other people stayed away from in order to bless them and to invite them into their circle.
Well, that's why Jack has lunch with you, Dad.
That is exactly why. but that is, it's inspiring
it
to
is.
See that.
And convicting.
It is convicting, yeah. I think all of us should work towards that. That's what Jesus is teaching. Anyway, then when your host sees you, he will come to you and say, "Friend, we have a better place for you." Then you will be honored in front of the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then he turned to his host. "When you put on a luncheon or a banquet," he said, "don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite," this is what we're just talking about, "invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind," or we could say the socially awkward. "Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you." Or maybe we could even add to that the annoying, the people that get on your nerves, and
yeah.
Because we're so much better off by focusing on being a blessing rather than to be blessed.
Well, I did. I had a buddy just reach out to me. He got a pretty big promotion, pretty massive promotion. And he had asked me, he's like, "You know, I just want to be that humble leader. How can I stay humble?" And I said, I sent him this text. Just yeah. every day look to do something for somebody who could never repay you. And that's
yeah,
the way
great.
To keep it humble.
All right, verse 21, the servant.
15.
Oh, verse 15. Yeah. I was looking ahead to where I needed to let you take over reading. Hearing this, the man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied with a story. "A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, 'Come, the banquet is ready.' But they all began making excuses. One said, 'I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 pair of oxen. And I want to try them out. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.'" Why don't you pick up in verse 21, Junior?
The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame." After the servant had gone and done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So the master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge everyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those who I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet."
This is actually an evangelistic text on principles of reaching as many people as we possibly can. And this is also the reason why we're not afraid to advertise. When I see that last part where he says, "Go into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come." There's try to get out to those people that otherwise you would have no other contact with. And that's actually why we love to send out the flyers or the cards. That a lot of people that are even listening to us right now, you got connected with us because you came to church, because you got a flyer. So many people in our church this way. So we want to invite everybody that we know and everybody that we have a connection with, but we also want to reach out and invite those people that otherwise we would never have a connection with. And it's amazing how God has used that to bring so many people themselves.
A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must by comparison hate everyone else, your father and your mother, your wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even in your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple." Now, that in comparison is a big deal because some texts just say you must hate.
I thought you're supposed to love yourself, though. He says you hate your own life.
But he's speaking hyperbole, which is often how he taught. And that is, your love for Jesus must be so strong that in comparison, your love for anybody else looks like hate. "If you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you can count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone will laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started the building and cannot afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 can defeat 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand."
Yeah, I don't think there even is such thing as flavorless salt. And yet, the point Jesus is making is something like that would be absolutely worthless. Why would you? Flavorless salt is just sand.
Yeah.
And so you throw it out in the street.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we're going to get over to Psalm, and the Psalms we have for today is Psalm 129, 130, and 131. We're starting to get through. Eventually, we're going to get through the end of Psalms. Get back to Proverbs again. I'm looking forward to that. But in Psalm 130, verse 3, it says, "Lord, if you kept a record of my sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive?" Oh, man. "But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you." And great stuff in there in that. If he kept a record of my wrongs, it would be too huge of a list, and I could never stand in front of him without just absolute shame. But he gives full and complete forgiveness and invites us to himself. And then it says that we might learn to fear him. And so as a result of that, our lives ought to be built on honoring, loving, pleasing, and representing him well.
Yeah. All right. Well, the psalm for today is... I'm not going to do that twice.
If you're listening yesterday, that's what happened yesterday. But
now today is National Good Samaritan Day.
Mm.
And so as Jesus was teaching earlier, just about look to do something for somebody who can never repay you. I mean, that should be something we do every day, but maybe today, especially on your radar, just look to do something for somebody who could never repay you. And that will be a pleasing aroma to God in heaven. All right, make it a good day.
God bless.